here. They should be. I'm an alcoholic. So yeah, I'm really grateful to be here tonight, share my experience, strength, and hope. Forgive me if I start crying. I am a crier. I will try to hold off on that. My sobriety date is November 3rd, 2008. I'm an only child, born here in Atlanta. My parents divorced when I was 2, and my mom remarried when I was about 4 years old, and so we moved to Chamblee. I loved that part of my life. It was awesome. You know, it was back in the 70s, so it was just like kids were everywhere, you know. And you can just, like, everybody was out. As long as you weren't inside, you were out, you know, and didn't come home until night. It was great. Just you were on the swim team, and just a lot of freedom at that time in my life. Two friends next door befriended me. They were sisters, and I ended up spending pretty much all of my time with them. My mom had started nursing school, so she was gone all night long, and then she would sleep all day long. So I just really clung to my neighbors and spent all my time over there. Years later, well, I had a couple of siblings too, like step siblings. They were all a little bit older than me. It ended up happening a couple of years later. I got abused by one of my stepbrothers, and that really just kind of messed with me. It caused a lot of shame, a lot of confusion. And I started to notice that I kind of started changing a little bit at that time because I really just kind of felt unsafe. Also, my home didn't really feel that safe either. I didn't really have, like, you know, there was no, like, family time, meals. Just kind of everybody was just trying to do your own thing. And I really don't remember, like, my stepfather being around. It was all just kind of a fend for yourself kind of thing. And it was just kind of really kind of a lonely time. I didn't find that my home was very safe, so I spent, again, all my time next door. And come about maybe another year later, my mom ended up getting divorced, and I had to go live with my dad. And that was kind of shocking for them because it just kind of happened all of a sudden. I remember being in the driveway, and, you know, my mom was like, well, I'm getting divorced, so here, you can have her. And they were like, well, you know, oh, okay. Because I had so much freedom at that time, I was just kind of a little bit wild. And, well, I don't know how wild I was, but they were just like, look, you've had too much freedom. You know, you've been neglected. You know, your home is not very clean. You know, your mother wasn't taking care of you. We need to kind of control you. And so they put a lot of rules in place and a lot of, you know, I was on restriction all the time. I had a hard time with school, and it was just a really tough time. And it was just, it started to cause a lot of resentment, a lot of anger. On top of all the kind of the loneliness, the feelings of not really being accepted, I just started kind of really developing this wall, you know, around me. I just really kind of figured that it really wasn't very safe anywhere I went. Over the years, I went back to my mom's. She got remarried. At that point in time, when I was around 14, I think it was the very first drink that I ever had. And it was whenever I had gone back over to my friend's house. Just like peppermint schnapps. That's all I really remember. Had some drinks, got together with some boys. I don't remember it being like a really, I didn't feel like it was like, oh, I found the answer. I remember just kind of passing, and I don't remember really craving it much at that time. That was when I was about 14, and I got married when I was 19, divorced when I was 21, and it was right around when I was 21 is when I started drinking. You know, I started out with, like, the really kind of real sweet drinks, like the amaretto sours, and, you know, I didn't really want anything tough, so I would go out probably 5 to 7 nights a week to have my little free tutti drinks. You know, it was fine. At that time, too, I was really trying to control myself. You know, I didn't want myself to get out of, you know, I didn't want people to really know who I was. So I don't recall at that time that I didn't really notice the allergy kicking in, you know, at that time. I was having the best time. See, when I was about 29, I ended up getting married again. And it was at that point in time that Bayside would invite me over, and he would cook, and we would drink, and he was like, let's drink, let's smoke. Let's have the best time. So he would just pour the, you know, the endless glass of wine. I really liked the wine. The wine really started to let me kind of loosen up a little bit. You know, I was like, this is great. I started drinking nightly. Whenever I wasn't with him, I discovered I could go to the store and buy it myself and go to him. You know, now I hadn't even thought about that, but I was like, this is awesome. And I really liked the wine because it really, you know, again, it helped loosen me up, and I found that I was just in the best mood. You know, so once I would have a couple of glasses of wine, I had no problem jumping in the car, driving, going, picking up some more. I'd go dancing, you know, just do all kinds of crazy stuff. It was probably about a year into that, that I really started to notice that I might have a problem, because every time I drank, I would only have a couple of glasses, but every time I did, I would end up getting really sick. I would get sick that night, or I would get really sick the next morning. And I had been a hairstylist for a little while, and I had a client of mine that was also in the program. He had about 30 or 40 years. I'd never heard about AA before him. I told him, I said, I think I might have a problem. And so he hooked me up with a woman that he knew, and she took me to my very first meeting. That was in, like, 2003. It was the Nancy G's meeting, the very first one. Well, I don't know if it was the very first one, but it was over there in Buckhead, over by Whole Foods. That meeting, and I remember I picked up a white chip, and everybody was so happy, and they came and charged me afterwards, and it just scared the crap out of me. You know, like, I don't know who you people are, you know. Back up a little bit, too. I had really developed so much fear. I had a lot of fear, especially around people. And I don't know if that was just from my childhood, but walking into a meeting like that with full of people that I didn't know, even as nice as they were, everybody came right. Yeah, it was just super kind. You know? And they were so happy that I picked up that white chip. They just wanted to come and help, but, you know, I couldn't handle it. So that was 2003. I kind of bounced in and out for a couple of years, is what I would do. I'd come in, sit in the back. I'd kind of just have, like, one foot out the door, ready to find some reason why I didn't belong. It was really kind of hard for me, too, because, you know, I hadn't had a problem with it before. And it just all of a sudden kind of, there was like a switch that got flipped on. I really had a hard time deciding on if I was an alcoholic. But over the years, it just continued to get worse. My consumption didn't always get worse, but the fact that I was doing it every day, all the time, after a couple of years, I actually remember looking on the back of a Tylenol bottle and where it says, if you consume three or more drinks a day, you might want to see a doctor. And I remember looking at that and going, who does that? Little did I know that that would be me in just a matter of time. That was messing with me, too. I'm like, I can't believe this happened to me. Still married for a couple of years. My husband at the time, he didn't even acknowledge that I had any problem with alcohol. I think he was just happy that I was, you know, I was happy to be around, and I didn't bother him. But after a couple of years, I mean, considering we really didn't have good communication and our marriage was kind of failing, that I ended up going down to Miami for a hair show. I had hair like this short, and I went down and got me some extensions. I had hair down here all of a sudden. Decided to go to the bar, and sure enough, I met someone. Proceeded to have an affair. I came back and told my husband that was it. You know, I wanted a divorce. I proceeded to go back and forth from Miami to visit him. Then I decided to move him up here. He wasn't living. He was kind of homeless as well, but he told me everything I wanted to know. He made me feel like I was amazing, you know, so I was like, you're coming with me. Come on up. So, you know, I brought him up here and lived in a friend's house that had, she had a house that was empty for me. Stayed over there, and of course, things just got worse. Before you know it, we were fighting, having all these fist fights, and I was noticing that I didn't really have much of a sense of humor anymore. And there was just little things that were starting to tell me, like, I don't know what's happening to me. But the one good thing about that relationship was that he did come into the rooms with me. He did come in, and he kind of gave me that support that I needed. Because I just couldn't do it on my own. I would keep coming in, and my mind would find reasons why I just didn't belong. You know, I would compare myself. The biggest thing was that a lot of times when I would hear in meetings, it was always these extreme stories. We'd go out, they were just, you know, they'd black out, they were gone for weeks. And it was just such extreme stories that I never really heard many stories like mine. It just was like, it just kind of was a progression. It didn't take much for me to just always again find some reason why I didn't belong. But I appreciated that he came into the rooms with me. Basically what happened is that after about another year or so with him, and I'd been bouncing in and out, I was just stuck in this like vicious cycle. this vicious cycle that I couldn't make a decision. And I just didn't feel like I fit in. But I was noticing that my alcoholism was just getting worse. And it was just getting worse. And I was starting to notice that I was going to work and I really wasn't feeling that hungover anymore. I don't know, that's kind of interesting that it's not going on. And so what happened was I would always get this little tap on the shoulder that would say, why don't you just go into AA? You know, and I figured that was my higher power speaking to me, just telling me, trying to nudge me in. I would just say, no, I don't really want to do that, you know. And I finally got so angry that I screamed at him. I screamed at him and I told him, look, either you give me the courage to go in those rooms or don't ever mention that to me again. I had a moment where I was driving home and I was driving home from work and I was doing the same thing. I was driving home and I was thinking, am I going to stop at this? You know, how much wine do I have now? I got about, I don't know, I probably got about this much. It's probably about, what, you know, one, two glasses of wine. I could do that. I can do it. No. Maybe I'll stop at the QT. I'll stop at the public. No. I didn't want to face the fact that usually I would go home, I'd have a couple glasses of wine, and then I'd just be lined up to the store, right? But I wasn't willing to admit that. So I was thinking about it, I was driving, I was thinking and thinking, and all of a sudden I just had this little, hey, normal drinkers don't really think about if they're going to stop at the store for like a full half an hour on the drive home. And it was just kind of like a, oh my God, it just hit me out of the blue that it was like, I have a problem. And I went home, and it may have been a day or so later, all of a sudden I had this paradigm shift that made me feel like I was finally equal to everybody in here. And that was one of the things that kept me out, is that I felt like I was just like the lowest, just the lowest. I just wasn't deserving to come in here, and he just instantly shifted. And I knew that was an answer to my prayers. Who knew that he would do something like that to make me feel like, to give me courage? And so I knew, I just got this voice that was like, you've got to get sober, you know? So they gave me the hope, and they gave me the faith to come in. And I immediately came in that day. I got a sponsor. I immediately started to work the steps. And I will, let me back up one moment. I had come in, like, earlier that year. It was probably about 4 or 5 months before that. I came in. I tried to get sober. I maybe had about 4 weeks. I'd actually gotten a sponsor. I went out one day, and It was like a beautiful Sunday, right? You know, I'm romancing the drink. Everybody's sitting out on the Sunday drinking, and I really wanted to be that. I ended up again having, like, a couple of those non-alcoholic beers. Mm-hmm. Gotta check your motivation. I had a couple of those, and of course that little tiny bit of alcohol in there finally just lowered me enough where I said, you know, give me some wine. So I had a couple glasses of wine. And I was calling my sponsor like the next day, and I said, hey, look, you know, I went out, had a couple glasses of wine, but I'm good. She's like, yeah, I don't think something's not working, you know, I can't sponsor you anymore. And that just set me off. I was like, what? Believe it. And I took off, and I thought I would never walk in these doors again. But she was right, though. You know, at that time, I still didn't get it. And I was just kind of going through the motions. There was something about that second time that finally, that moment of clarity that he gave me that just said, you got a problem, and you need to stop. It's not gonna get any better. That was my bottom. Your bottom just doesn't have to... My experience, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, incredible. It just has to, for me, just that moment of clarity when it finally clicks in. That's really all I needed. And whenever I came in, I got a sponsor. I started calling her every day. She wanted me to call her every day, so I did. And it took a couple of weeks, you know, before I really started working the first step. She just wanted to see if I was really gonna stick with it, if I was willing, you know, to give her a call every day. But I was desperate. I had that level of desperation. You know, they talk about that in here. But there's something about, you know, us having to work these steps. I mean, this is not, it's not easy. But is quite rewarding. You know, just that I found just that moment, just being willing to walk in and do the next right thing, to open up the book, to call three people a day, to come to a meeting, to just that your willingness, I noticed that things started to shift for me. Got on that pink cloud. That was awesome. I rode that for a couple of months. Yeah, I just started working the steps. At that time, I didn't really have a problem with my higher power, but I definitely, it was just my higher power. I wasn't comfortable with the word God. I had started kind of developing over the years kind of a higher power, but it was kind of like a universal God. And that's fine. They say, you know, whenever you walk in here, you can use the doorknob, right? You can use just the fellowship of the rooms. You know, you can borrow my higher power, anything. Anything it takes, but this is a spiritual program, you know. So I found it was just a collaborative event. I would do a little bit of something. He would help me along with something. I would do a little bit more. He would help a little bit more. He would do something, or he would wait for me. And he would wait for me. And I thought, you know. I still, because of my fear, I would still sometimes, and I still do this today, I would project into what it's going to be like. And I will think, I have got it all figured out, you know, and I know it's how it's going to go. And I would talk myself out of it. In reality, it just never goes that way. It never goes the way we think it's going to go. But I was willing. My fourth step, I remember doing the fourth step. I remember that was really hard for me to be able to see anything. I remember calling my sponsor and being like, you know, I don't really see that I did anything wrong. I think there was one thing that I can think of that I did wrong. She was like, yeah, you need to think about a little bit harder on that one. You know, slammed down the phone. But that was okay. It was okay. I mean, I remember sitting there over the fifth step of her and talking for hours, and I don't even know if I could really take in what she was telling me. And I think it's because I had a lot of shame for my past, and it just, I was still just in protection mode. But that was okay. That was okay. I was still willing to do that stuff, and I was still willing to just keep walking through the steps. I didn't need to do it perfectly. And I find that as long as I keep sober and I don't pick up that drink and I keep showing up, you know, the best of my ability, things will start, doors will start opening, and, you know, he'll keep showing his way. Fifth and sixth step. Seventh, I know that doing my amends, there were some amends that took me a little bit longer to be able to do. For me, I needed to come to a place where I was honest about it. That I was honestly, some people would disagree and they just do it anyway, and that's good. For me, I needed to be sincere that I was making that amends for them. I felt that was important for me. But, and yeah, I mean, life just started changing. I mean, and it really started changing early on. I noticed that the promises really started coming true very early on. What I love about the promises is that they continue to come true to different degrees over time. So you can always you can see it in the beginning, you can see it in the middle, you can still see it, you know, towards the end. I mean, it doesn't end, actually. That's what I love about this program. It just, things just keep getting better. They just get better. Even coming here to speak, honestly, you know, I don't like being the center of attention by any means. And, you know, whenever Kat even asked me to come in here and speak, I remember saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't do that. And mainly because the past couple of times that I'd ever done it before, it was just a mess. I couldn't. I used to always be blocked. I just still had so much fear. But God continues, you know, He keeps working on me. He just keeps working on us. And I have changed. I am not the same person that I even was like a couple of weeks ago. I'm not the same person I was a month ago, you know, 6 months ago. Even though I told her no, I kept getting that little, hey, why don't you do that? And I finally just said, yeah, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust because, you know, I want to do my part. I want to be able to be of service to other people. So that's what He's done for me. You know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. We all go through this in different degrees. And especially when it comes to speaking and stuff, that's happened very slowly for me. I'm just so grateful for this program has done for me. I used to just be so full of depression and loneliness and just emptiness. I remember whenever I was with that boyfriend who brought me in. He was telling me, you know, why don't you try to cut the wine? Why don't you, you know, mix it with some Sprite? Why don't you put some wine? Why don't you try to time it? You know, and I'm like, why do I want to do that? I want the effect of the alcohol. I wasn't suicidal, but I didn't really want to be here either. And it was mainly because I wasn't living any kind of life. So I would look behind me. I kept reading books. I kept trying to change, but I had no idea how it was going to change. I knew there's something deeper inside of me that said there's more to life, but I didn't know how to attain it. And so that's the beauty of these steps, is that they show us how to do it. You know, just walking in these rooms, we have a sponsor, you know, that'll help take us through the steps and show us how to do it. And then it just starts to change, helps clear up our lives, you know, how to forgive people and how to forgive ourselves. That was something I had to do. I was so hard on myself. And he's taught me how to forgive myself, how to just acceptance, accepting me for who I am, that I'm okay. I never even told my story before, really, because I didn't think it was worth telling either. But now I think differently. We all need to tell. We all have a story to tell. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. No matter how much sobriety somebody has, I remember that I would put other people up on a pedestal and think, well, they've got so much time and I have, it doesn't matter. We're just one day at a time. That's what I love about this, you know, program too. The only requirement for AA membership if they desire to quit drinking. That's really what kept me in here for a long time, because I would walk in here and I just, the sickness in my mind too, whenever I'd walk in the rooms before I got sober, I just knew that people were looking at me and going, see that girl over there? She can't get her shit together. She cannot get sober. I keep seeing her coming back in here and coming back in. She can't get it together. Look at what we're doing. That's the stuff that was going on in my head. I was staying so quiet and I was keeping it all to myself that the insanity was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was starting to just take me over. And it just, God was the only one who could cut through that. And what I found was just praying and asking for exactly what I needed. This is what I need. I know they say, you know, in the big book, like, don't pray for yourself, but I would pray for myself in a way that would be helpful to others. I said, please just change me so I can be of service to somebody else. That third step prayer is awesome. I would say, I also to my mind was like, I didn't even know what any of the steps meant, right? I would just repeat prayers, you know, be like, I hope you know what you're doing, because I don't really know what I'm doing. But it works. It works. And the third step prayer is like, just get me out of me. Please, God, get me out of me. Because I was so absorbed in myself, I couldn't get out. I know, y'all, just the peace I feel today is just, it surpasses anything else. I have this comfort in my own skin. It's okay to be me. So I no longer have that depression. Doesn't mean that I don't have some down days, but I know what to do with it. I have tools now, right? I got tools. I got people I can call. I stick around people who stay sober. And I've got tons of people to call. Pretty much all my friends now are in this program. The fellowship is amazing. It is amazing. Y'all are the family that I never had. I mean, you really are. There's always a sense of comfort. Every time I walk in these rooms, I get this, okay, you know, I can do this. And they've got parties going on all the time. I lost both of my parents when I was first year in sobriety, and I was actually at Icky Paw. Icky Paw is awesome. Young people, they had dancing. I went to Icky Paw, and I found out my dad had died suddenly. Still at that time, I just really couldn't handle a lot of the emotional stuff, but I came back into Icky Paw, and I just stuck with y'all, and I danced, and, you know, I just did what I could. It's important, I think, about in sobriety, especially early in sobriety, they tell us to, whatever you got to do to take care of yourself stays over, right? I remember when I still had that boyfriend of mine still at my house that I couldn't get out of my house. And I remember going over to Triangle, and I don't know if y'all know Don, I was telling Don about my sad story, and he was like, look, is it going to be you or is it going to be him? And he put it that clearly for me, and I had not really thought about that. But I said, you know what, now that you put it like that, it's going to be me. He's out of here. We do what we have to do in order to stay civil rights. So if there are things that are triggering us, go into family. We can't handle our family. You know, we go, if we have to go, maybe we go for half an hour. We got tons of people we can call. You know, we do things to take care of ourselves. It's what we have to do. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, because we have to start holding ourselves accountable, and we can't, we have other people to help us and remind us all the time. I don't want to sound like a preacher, but it's just, this program's amazing. This program is amazing. I am so full of gratitude. And that's something I do every day, is I try to stay in gratitude, because my mind will want to go and start looking at all the things that aren't going well in my life, and, you know, start getting me angry and mad. And there's some things that I've walked through in sobriety, but that's okay. You know, I went through losing my parents. I went through losing my home, and, you know, going through bankruptcy and foreclosure, not really sure where I was going to go. We all kind of go through some tough times. Even just recently, I've had a moment. I have my sweet husband over here. We got married. That was a God moment. Brought us together. We never would have, neither one of us knew that we were both in the program, but he brought us together. And we've had a moment too where, you know, my husband has two teenage girls that came to live with us. That has been a very, very challenging part of my life. And I was shocked. I was shocked, the amount of anger, frustration, the fact that I felt like I was turning into my own stepmother. I didn't go into a lot of that. But I think he brings us these tough moments. It's in these moments of pain is when we're willing to change. And I went through that pain for a couple of years. I went through that pain for a couple of years where I couldn't handle it anymore, and I kept praying about it. And he showed me some ways, you know, to get out of it, and he started to open up my heart more. I just don't want to stress enough how wonderful this program is. And I find it more exciting. It's more exciting than anything else. I think because I'm not afraid of change. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And now I know that any tough time, anything that comes along, I know how to handle it. And I know how to have faith, because I know that he's going to bring me, he's going to maybe close one door, but he's going to open up another door. It's going to be more amazing than what I thought, right? That's what he does for us, because he loves us so much. Very good. Don't say that. Thank you. Dacia, thank you so much. First I slip, and then I crept to a hope-filled dream. You rescued me, and finally, waking there I see. I look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promise is. Sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, God wants us, we walk eternally. Promises are real.
Take me where the promise.